Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're jumping into a specific Dungeons & Dragons session recording you shared. It's called Not Curse of Strahd Session 10, Hashtag Fantasy Grounds, from GM Wintermute's channel.
Right, and the idea was, you know, to get a real sense of what actually happens in one of these sessions, what kinds of surprises pop up in this sort of collaborative storytelling thing.
Exactly. So our mission here is to really unpack Session 10, look at the key moments, the unexpected bits, how the characters interacted. Give everyone a good overview.
And what jumps out right away, I think, is the setting. They're deep in the catacombs under Castle Ravenloft.
Yeah, definitely feels like they're in the thick of it.
And you hear mentions of Babaloo Saga and Irina Kalandra. So these characters, they've been around the block a bit in Barovia, you know. They're not rookies.
Good point. And maybe less dramatic, but very real. They kick things off with technical problems. Fantasy Grounds acting up.
Huh. Yeah, that's online D&D for you sometimes, isn't it? A little dose of reality before the fantasy.
It really is. But once they get rolling, we meet the party. And it's quite a mix.
It is. You've got a gunslinging vampire, which, okay, that's immediately interesting.
Right.
Then a cleric, a paladin, who's also multi-classing. Sorcerer and warlock powers, too. A rogue, naturally.
The classic rogue.
And then...
Grandma. Okay, let's pause on Grandma. Described as... nebulously evil and likes cookies.
I mean, what a description. It just screams interesting character dynamic. Nebulously evil.
It really does. And you hear that playfulness in the early chat, right? As they're standing there looking at all these crypts, there's caution, sure, but also curiosity and jokes.
Definitely. A mix of, okay, let's be careful, and ooh, what's behind this door?
So how did they actually start exploring? What was the approach in this session?
Well, it seemed pretty systematic, actually. They weren't just kicking down doors randomly.
Methodical, yeah.
Uh-huh. Going door by door, checking things out. Like, they've maybe learned the hard way not to rush in.
Makes sense in Ravenloft's catacomb.
Totally. And it builds that suspense, you know? The first few doors, mostly nothing. Empty room here.
Right, I remember that.
A skeleton with a little wooden box, which also turned out to be empty, I think. Or nothing dangerous, anyway.
Was that the one the rug tried to subtly pocket?
Yeah. You could almost hear the player thinking, just in case, then another with, like, dried paint, brushes. Kind of odd.
Setting a mood, maybe. But then they hit the trap.
Yes. The trap door. Yeah. Classic. And the irony. The character nicknamed The Fear triggers it.
Oh, well, perfect.
But the trap itself gets redirected, hits another character, Radon. So, bit of chaos right off the bat.
A good reminder that things can go sideways fast. Okay, so after the trap, things started picking up discovery-wise, didn't they?
Oh, absolutely. Session 10 really starts delivering here. After those initial kind of mundane finds, they hit some significant stuff. First big one was in the tomb of St. Markovia, dead for all time. They find a thigh bone.
Just a bone?
Well, not just a bone. There's this whole moment with a ghostly voice whispering. Tells them to use it as a weapon against the vampire.
Okay, now that's interesting. So it's magical.
You got it. Turns out it's a Mace of Disruption, which is specifically good against vampires and vampire spawn, like really good. It can potentially just destroy them if they're low on health when hit.
Wow. Okay. That's a huge find for a Curse of Strahd game. Feels like a major clue or weapon dropped right in their laps.
Exactly. A very specific tool for the job ahead. Then, not long after, different tomb, Pedolic the Fool of Dorfinia, they find a Dick of Illusion.
Dick of Illusion? What does that do? It sounds chaotic.
It totally is. You draw cards and it summons illusions. Could be a red dragon, could be knights, maybe a succubus. It's completely unpredictable.
Oh man, that could be amazing. Or spectacularly bad. Adds a real random element.
Exactly. Fun, but risky. And the big finds in Session 10 just kept rolling in. Next up, this really cold tomb. Barren Ice Glazed Druff Ice Cholesterol.
What a name.
I know, right? Inside, they find a luck blade.
Okay, luck blade. That sounds powerful. What are the specifics?
It's a great surd, first off. Gives a +1 bonus to attack rolls and damage rolls. Pretty sweet already.
Decent weapon.
But wait, there's more. It lets the wielder reroll one attack roll, no action needed. Just poof, try again.
Nice. Very handy.
And the real kicker, it contains a wish spell.
A wish spell? Yeah. Seriously, that's like peak D&D magic, reality-altering stuff.
Right, one of the most powerful spells in the game. And guess who claims this incredible artifact?
Oh no, let me guess. Grandma.
Bingo. Grandma, the nebulously evil cookie fan, now has a wish.
Okay. Wow. That changes things. What does that say about this group or the game they're playing? that this power goes to her.
I mean, it suggests they're really leaning into the unpredictable, maybe, embracing the weirdness. It's definitely not your standard heroic party setup now, is it?
Not at all. The potential for good or evil or complete randomness is off the charts. What is she going to wish for? Cookies, world peace, eternal darkness.
Who knows? It adds this amazing layer of tension and possibility. And the session wasn't done giving out loot yet.
Still more.
Yep. Tomb of Catsky the Bright. They find, get this, a glider, some gunpowder and a drinking horn, a musket, and a 2 silvered bullets.
A musket. Okay, so we've got ancient magic bones, illusion decks, wish swords, and now firearms.
Eclectic.
Totally eclectic. Shows the layers of history in Ravenloft, maybe? Mm. And silvered bullets, of course. Very useful against certain types of creatures you might find in Barovia.
Like werewolves. Good point. So all this looting and exploring, did they actually fight anything in session 10?
They did. It wasn't all just shopping. In the tomb of Sasha something or another. Sorry, the name wasn't clear.
Happens in D&D.
Yeah. Anyway, they disturb this web-covered female corpse, and surprise, it animates and attacks. Time for initiative rolls.
Classic crypt encounter. How did the fight go?
Sounded like a fairly standard combat. Multiple players jumped in. Even Grandma got in on the action, apparently using her walking stick.
Of course she did. Adds to the mystique.
Right. They took the creature down. A necessary bit of action after all the exploring, I guess. Reminds them the crypts bite back.
Sure. So after the fight, more exploring.
Yep. Back to the methodical approach. More empty tombs. One apparently had gold coins painted on the wall. Weird little details.
Huh?
And they encountered a rotating trapdoor, which they very wisely decided to avoid.
Good call.
Then they reached the tomb of Sir Clutch Trepolotsky. This one had a skeleton in rusty plate armor, skewered by a sword.
Ooh, that sounds ominous, like a trap waiting to happen.
Exactly what you'd think. Potential curse, maybe the armor animates. But someone touched the sword and nothing happened, at least not immediately.
Huh, a bit of a fake out. Or maybe a delayed trigger. Keeps you guessing.
It does. That uncertainty is part of the fun, right?
Yeah.
Then came a really memorable one. The tomb of King Dostrum the Hellborn.
What happened there?
Gilded sarcophagus, looks important, but the weird part, a stuffed owlbear.
A stuffed owlbear, okay.
And apparently a voice comes from the owlbear, warning them not to open the sarcophagus. Says there's a pit fiend inside.
A talking stuffed owlbear warning about a pit fiend. You can't make this stuff up.
Right. Whether it's magic, an illusion, who knows?
Yeah.
But the players decided to listen. They backed away. Probably smart. Don't mess with talking taxidermy, especially when it mentions pit fiends. They seem to be learning caution.
Definitely seems that way. After that, they found a tomb, Tatsel Iris, last of the line, where torches lit up when they entered. But the skeleton inside was just plaster. A fake.
Huh. A bit of misdirection after the pit fiend warning. Lightens the mood, maybe.
Could be. But the mood didn't stay light for long. Session 10 saved some real scares for the end. First, the tomb of the fellas, the Wonder Horse.
Wonder Horse?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds less scary.
Don't let the name fool you. This crypt was different. Bigger, filled with smoke, really hot air. Felt wrong.
Okay, alarm bells.
And when they opened the door, a massive black horse, mane and hooves literally on fire, rears up to attack. A nightmare.
Whoa. Okay, yeah, definitely not friendly. What do they do?
Slam the door shut immediately. Like, nope, not dealing with that right now.
Can't blame them. Sounds terrifying. And that wasn't the end of the session.
Almost. The very end of session 10 takes them to the tomb of General Crowville Mad Dog Grass. Sounds like a tough guy. Leader of men and hounds.
Mad Dog Grass.
Okay.
What's waiting for them there?
They don't go in. But the description is chilling. A horrible smell, brimstone and burnt fur. And in the darkness, inside the crypt, 3 pairs of glowing eyes.
Oh, lovely. 3 pairs. That's not good.
Yeah.
What does that imply?
Well, leader of hounds, brimstone, glowing eyes, strongly suggests hellhounds. 3 of them, probably. And that's where the session ends. On that cliffhanger.
Wow. What a place to stop. Sets up the next session perfectly. You know exactly what they're facing next. Or at least you think you do.
Exactly. So looking back at session 10 overall, it really shows that D&D rhythm, doesn't it?
Yeah, you really get a feel for it. The careful exploration, the sudden traps, the problem solving.
The combat that breaks things up.
And those big game-changing discoveries. Finding items like that Mace of Disruption or the Luck Blade that's going to have ripple effects.
For sure. The players are constantly reacting, making choices, sometimes with very little information.
Right.
And those choices, plus the look of the dice, shape everything.
It definitely leaves you wondering, right? I mean, what is grandma going to wish for? That's the million gold piece question.
It really is. And how are they going to handle three hellhounds? Are they ready for that kind of fight?
And what else is hidden down there? These catacombs seem huge.
Session 10 really gives a great snapshot of how dynamic and unpredictable these games can be. It's that mix of player agency, DM creativity, and sheer randomness.
Well, we hope this deep dive gave everyone listening a clearer picture, maybe a more exciting picture, of what goes on in a game like Dungeons & Dragons. Thanks for sharing the recording.
Yeah, it was fun to dissect.
Let us know what you thought. What parts of Session 10 jumped out at you? We'd love to hear about it. Maybe next time we find out if they survived Mad Dog's tomb.